Again, it's a good and beautiful day today, and just so good to be together and have so many of you here and visitors with us. It's just a good day, and love the singing as always, and love worshiping God. And now to spend some time in His Word, and I ask that you have your Bibles if you can, and let's follow along, and we'll talk about some things together for just a little bit as we're here this morning. I have a very easy question for everybody. And if you'd like to, raise your hand. How many of us want to see God one day? I think everybody raise your hand. All of us want to see God. I think if we truly understand God and who He is and what this life is about and about eternity, we with no doubt we want to see God. Nobody's ever seen God. No man has ever been able to. No man can, because God says if a man sees Him, he will die. God is awesome and God is holy. And what a day that'll be when we can finally see God face to face and to see Jesus, our Savior, that as John said, we haven't seen Him, we've never met Him, we've never talked to Him, we've never heard His voice with our ears, but we love Him with a love that is indescribable, a love that is strong. And if that is the case, if we have that longing, that desire to see God, that desire, that understanding that I want to be in heaven with God, then well, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 8 when He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." A promise, a declaration of Jesus. That as we talk about, as we've been going through these Beatitudes together, as Jesus has began His lengthy sermon on the Mount, as we talk about, and is talking about the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus says that here the ones who will see God, the ones who will be with God, the ones who will have that wonderful opportunity and that eternal opportunity of being with God are those who will commit their lives to purity, to being pure in heart, being holy, being like Him, holy as He is holy. And that, I hope, is what we are willing to do, that we are willing to get rid of the sin in our lives and in our hearts, and we are willing then to follow that. If He says that we are to be holy, then we say, well, show me the way, Lord, because that's where I want to go. That I want to be holy as God is holy. I want to know in God's eyes what is holy and what is not holy, what is pure, what is not pure. Well, that's what God teaches us, and that's what God makes us. And when we first obey the gospel, that is what God does. That if we obey the gospel, we come to God, we come to Jesus, realizing our sin, we're repenting of our sin. We come to God making a commitment that we're going to get rid of those sins, we're not going to live that way anymore. And what God does through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of God is He washes our sins away. What God does is He makes us pure. God makes us pure. We couldn't become pure on our own because we're in sin. It's not because of our righteousness that we're saved. It's God saying, okay, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to make you pure. And that's what He does. We read some passages like Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Plenty of passages we can find. I just chose a few to talk about or to look at that talks about how God makes us pure. What God does for us through Jesus Christ and our coming to Him and the good news of salvation and what Jesus has done for us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, as He is talking about how we have that boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. That's back in verse 19. Verse 22, He says, "Let us therefore draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So see, that's what happens to us when we become a Christian, when we are baptized into Christ. As we're washed with the purity of God, not literally pure water. I mean, because I doubt this water back here is pure. Sure, when I want to drink it. The pure water of God, the power of God, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, that makes us pure. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Let's flip over there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 11. Let's see. If I can find it. This is right after, back in verse 9, actually. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Isn't that what Jesus has been talking about the righteous, about what it is to be righteous and holy, and that they will be of the kingdom, they will be citizens of the kingdom of heaven? He says, "Well, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but what has happened? What has God done for us?" It says, "But you have been washed, you have been cleansed. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Those sins wash away. And isn't that that's the language that Ananias used when he came to Paul in Acts 22:16, if you remember. He comes to him and to explain, "Well, here, this is why I'm here, that the Lord has sent me to you to tell you what to do." And he says, "Now why are you waiting? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins." That washing, that purity. And is that not in Psalm 51? If you read Psalm 51, it's the Psalm of David after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And he uses the language all throughout that Psalm about cleansing, about making me pure and holy again. He says, clean, give me a clean heart. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me. Get this stuff away from me. That's what David is calling for the Lord to make him pure and holy once again. To have that pure heart. And that the Spirit of God not be taken away from him, but that he be pure as God is pure. Well, that's what God does for us. God makes us pure and holy in his sight. Washes our sins away. Gets rid of all that stuff. But then he leaves it up to us to stay that way. Right? God's cleaned us, but now he expects us to keep ourselves clean. Just like our parents expect us to keep our rooms clean. And after we get a bath, we're to stay clean for the most part. God says it's now up to you. But God has given us the way. He's told us what to do. He's shown us the way, and we're called to purity. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. This is what we're called to. In this context, in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, he begins talking about how he's urging the brethren to live for the Lord the way they were taught to. By the apostles and by Paul, and what the instructions they had given them about what it is to be a Christian and to live faithfully and to be pure. He says back in verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God." That's what they were taught. How to live, how to walk, how to please God. Goes on to say, "For you know what commandments we gave to you through our Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that being set apart, that which is holy, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own body, be in control of your own body, in sanctification and honor. Not a passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such things, as we also forewarned you and testified." Verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." In a specific context, yes, Jesus, or Paul is specifically talking about sexual morality. But fill in the blank and the rest of it fits. God has called us, he says, God has not called us to uncleanness, to unrighteousness, but God has called us in holiness. Paul's saying that if we're going to listen to what God has said, we're going to follow the instructions, we're taught what is pleasing to God, so, well, let's do it. We know we can't be doing these things, and we can't pretend to think, well, you know, God doesn't care what I do, and, this is okay. If God calls it sin, it's sin. He says we are to be pure. What about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, when Peter makes the point that we are to be holy as God is holy. We're to be like God. We want to see God, right? We already said that. We want to see God. We want to be with God. Well, if that's the case, then we've got to be like God. We've got to be holy as God is holy. And in 1 John chapter 3, he says there, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that we can be called children of God. John says, you know, when we think of God's love, that how in the world could I be called a child of God? I don't deserve that. I'm not anything special. I had sin and this and that. How could God love somebody like me? But John says, but he does. And he has forgiven us. He does call us his children. We are his children. Verse 2, beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we will be, but we know that when Jesus is revealed, we will be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. And again, that's what we want. We want to see Jesus. We want to see God. We want to be with God. We want to be like God. And everyone, though, he says in verse 3, who has this hope in Christ, purifies himself just as he is pure. So what John is saying is that if we want that hope, the hope of one day seeing Jesus and being with God, then we're going to purify ourselves. We're going to purify ourselves and get rid of all the sin in our life and say, I'm not going to do those things anymore. What about in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 24? What does Paul talk about when we talk about coming to the Lord and being baptized, and what happens? Well, he tells us. Let's back up to verse 17. We might as well. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ that way, he says. You have not learned from Christ, from the gospel. You have not learned from Jesus or the apostles that you're just to continue living in uncleanness and living in the flesh and walking the same way you did before you obeyed the gospel. If, verse 21, you've really heard Jesus and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. When we are baptized into Christ, we are crucified with him. We're killing the old man. He's dead. He's gone. The new man, created in the likeness of God, is to be in righteousness and holiness. That's what God makes us through Jesus. But again, we've got to stay that way. We can't put the old man back on. We can't become the old man again if we're going to be pleasing to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, we have much the same promise, the same explanation, that if we want to have that hope, of the promises of God, that God has promised He'll forgive us. God has promised that we will be in heaven with Him if we come to Him and we live for Him. And right after chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, talking about how we are to be holy. We are the temple of the Lord. We're to keep ourselves holy. And chapter 7, verse 1, now concerning the things... Well, no, that's the wrong one. Oh, bummer. What chapter are you in? I'm in, I guess it's 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. It's in the Bible, that's all I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, here we go. Verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He says, if we got these promises and we know what God has promised, that God has promised eternal life to those who would turn away from sin and live in holiness, he says, well, then let's do it. Let's believe God's promise and want that promise and say, that's what I want. I want to see God. I want to be with God. So I'm going to cleanse myself of all the filthiness of this world, of this flesh. And I'm going to keep myself pure and holy in my heart and in my mind. And I'm going to find out what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, we are to pursue and strive for holiness. And the writer of Hebrews makes the same point and says that we are to strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That's the negative. Jesus gave the positive. Jesus said the pure in heart will get to see God. The Hebrew writer says if you're not holy, you don't get to see God. That's what it is. In Luke chapter 6, and in beginning in verse 43, Jesus says about us and about our heart, that who we are, that our heart, we're going to produce our actions, the way we talk, the way we do things, the way we treat people, the things we partake of. He says it's going to show what's really inside of us. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, he says. So if we're pure hearted, then our life is going to show by our works, by our actions, the way we live, that purity. But if we're partaking in things that are sinful, things that are not pure, things that are not holy in the eyes of God, then that's showing us that our heart is not where it's supposed to be. Our heart isn't pure where God wants it to be. And so we've got to be mindful of that. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, which is our scripture reading for this morning. Something very important in there, how David goes about it. He says, beginning in Psalm 24, beginning in verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. What he starts with is the majesty and awesomeness of God as our creator. And as David would say, or did say back in Psalm 8, I believe it was, when I consider your works, your wonders, the sun, the moon, the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him? Well, this is kind of the same thing in verse 3 when he says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy presence of God? Who could do that? When you think of God and how holy and awesome and righteous and powerful He is, who is worthy and who is able to even be in the presence of God? It sure ain't me. But David says, verse 4, it is he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, to answer the question, David's question was, who can ascend and be in the presence of God? David answers it. The one who is holy and pure in heart. Which goes all the way back to what Jesus himself said. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will get to see God. Is that what we want? Is that what I want? To see God? To be in heaven with God? I mean, just can't even imagine what that's even going to be like. And if that is truly my longing and my hope and my joy and what I live my life for, then I'll live my life for it. I'll be pure. I'll get rid of the junk of this world that Satan gives us. I'll get rid of the things that corrupt my heart and my mind. I'm going to strive to keep myself pure and holy. And I can do that. How do I do that? Well, the how is in this book. And so if we spend time in this book, we spend time in God's Word, we'll know what is pure and holy. And I'll leave you with one last illustration. You say, well, Kevin, you know, I can't remember everything in the Bible. We need to, study and learn, and we need to keep ourselves in the book, but I can't remember it all. Well, it's kind of like a bucket with holes in it. Have you ever heard this? A bucket with holes in it. It can't retain, keep pouring water into it. Water, 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 and it just continually drains out. It won't hold all the water. But you know what you got? A clean bucket. That's like us. We may not be able to remember it all the time. But I'll tell you what, if we keep ourselves constantly in His Word and pouring it into our hearts and our minds, we're going to have a clean heart and a clean mind. And that's where we got to stay. If you would, let's go to God in prayer together. Let's pray. Our holy and awesome God, we are truly not worthy. We know we're not. We're not worthy to call you our Father, to call you our God. We're not worthy to even imagine being in your presence, dear God. But that is what fills us with so much joy, is because even though that is the case, you love us more than we can even truly understand. And dear God, we are thankful for that love. We are thankful that you are willing to cleanse us from our sin, that you are willing to make us pure so that we can be with you in heaven. And dear God, as we live this life every day, this world is so full of sin and filth that just wants to stain us, that wants to make us impure. We know that Satan is trying everything he can to corrupt us, and to keep us from being pure and holy. Dear God, help us to fight back. Help us to work hard at keeping ourselves clean and living in your grace and your mercy, knowing that when we sin, we can have that forgiveness. We can still keep ourselves clean by your grace and mercy and forgiveness. And dear God, help us to strive for that every day. To long to be with you. We want to see you, dear God. We want to know you. We want to be with you in heaven. Dear God, we love you. Help us to live that love in purity and in holiness. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Take your psalm books out this morning. We've already said the good news of salvation is that if we will realize our sin and realize that we need saving and know that Jesus died on the cross for us, and we can be baptized into water, and as Paul said, or Ananias said in Acts 22:16, we can have our sins washed away. Washed away. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I hope you want to see God. I want to see God too. If you're here this morning and not a Christian and you know that you want to see God, you want to be with God in heaven and you believe, then come this morning, come. We've got water ready. We can baptize you. You can be washed of your sins and rise up to join us in living a life of purity, of holiness. And maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've not kept yourself pure. You've not been living in holiness. Well, John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 19, that if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Please do that this morning and make yourself pure again. And let's live for the Lord in purity so that we can all, every single one of us, stand together in the presence of God in heaven. Won't you come now as we stand and sing this song?